here tonight. I'm telling you, you know, I remember many years ago when I was discipling maybe one to two, three people at a time, I remember thinking, wouldn't it be so cool if like one day I could take all of these things that we're doing one-on-one with people and turn it into this incredible discipleship machine where we could pump these truths into God's people and see the masses discipled. And then about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Pastor Jeremy, our lead pastor, began to have a vision to see just that very thing happen. And it's so fantastic when God orchestrates leadership like that, when the dream in my heart matched the dream and vision of his. And really and truthfully, that is how Grow Track and Starting Point and Encounter and our groups, all of that came from those dreams and those conversations we've had. So I believe in this process. I believe in the curriculum. I believe that when you come to know truth, it sets you free. I just think a lot of Christians hear truth versus knowing the truth and applying the truth. And Grow Track teaches you way beyond just hearing truth. Grow Track is designed to help make sure the seeds of truth go deep in the soil of your heart and that your heart has good soil in it. And Grow Track also teaches you how to let God water that seed. And guess what happens when you put good seed in good soil with good sunlight and good water? Guess what happens as a result? There's growth. I mean, this isn't rocket science, people. It's true. The creation God made, even in the seeds I plant as a gardener. How many of you love gardening in here? I love it. It's therapeutic. It helps me get rid of lots of stress. That and working out, punching the punching bag. That really eliminates a lot of stress for me. But the great thing is the comparison I always see with my gardening and discipleship. There's certain steps you have to take in gardening if you want to see a great harvest or a great garden down the road. And the first thing that you have to do is cultivate the soil. You got to get the soil ready. I've got to get the weeds pulled out or get Pastor Alvin to get the rocks out. Because I don't like doing that. I get him to do that kind of stuff or help me with that. But you've got to get the soil ready. If the soil's not right, the seed can't take root. And we're going to get into lots of stuff on that later in this class, not tonight, but in the weeks to come. But what you need to understand tonight, that the first step you have is that you've got to make sure your soil's right for what God wants to do tonight. Because we have a God who's a great seed slinger. You know that? You know, God is the master gardener, and he loves to sling seed. But not all of our hearts have good soil in it. And not all of our hearts want that seed to take root. And so my greatest prayer for tonight would be that every single person in here, whether you're a staff member, a deacon, or a brand new Christian, that you would come with a good heart, ready to receive the seed God wants to plant. I have seen the difference in the results between Christians who come thinking they know it all and Christians who are hungry and desperate and eager to hear from God. Guess who grows fastest? The hungry heart always leaves full. So are you hungry tonight? Are you hungry tonight? If I could just have everyone stand where you are. I almost said stand where you are, stay where you are, like we say on Sunday. Can everyone stand where you are and stay where you are? Nobody moving around. Woo, Pastor Jeremy, we're here. I'd be in trouble. But can we get our hearts right? Can we do that right now? It's been so busy right now. I know in my own life with the Nacogdoches launch is exciting, but I feel like I have three homes. I've got one on Sonterra, I've got one at 2021 South John Reddit, and I've got one over in Nacogdoches right now. So I understand tired. But guys, I'm here tonight because I'm hungry too. I'm hungry to hear from God tonight. Can we get our hearts right? Father, we all come to you. All of us in this room come with a different level of faith right now. Some of us have been saved, God, you know, like for days. Some of us have been saved for years. But God, I pray that no matter how long we've known you, that tonight our hearts would get very hungry. I want us just right now think about where you are with your walk with God. Can we just think about that for just a minute? Can we think about that moment when we felt closest to him? Do you have it in your mind? Think of that moment, that season. You and Jesus were so tight. You got that in your mind? Now, God, we're not asking you to do something you've already done. We don't want to live in yesterday's glory. But, Lord, you said that you want us to go from glory to glory. And so, Father, I pray that every heart in here would be hungry for the new glory. That we would set aside the distractions from today, the disappointments from last weekend, and the fears of tomorrow. And that we would open our heart wide. Can you just do that in your own mind right now, in your own heart? We just open our hearts to you, Jesus. Yes, we do. Yes, we open our hearts to you, Lord. We love you. We just surrender to you. We ask that you would plant seeds in our hearts. God, may our hearts have good soil in them for the planting of the seeds of your word tonight. Father, we pray that you would help us to water those seeds. And God, we pray by the end of Grow One that we would have a bountiful harvest of fruitfulness that would remain. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may find your seat. Now, let me just preface myself tonight by saying this tonight's teaching is ground level. Say ground level. So it's ground level, which means some of you, when I start saying some of the first things about tonight's teaching, a tendency could be, I already know all this. I picked the wrong group, all right? If you're one of the people in here where when I start teaching this, you think I already know it all, I want to challenge you first by saying, do you know this so well you could get up and teach it for me right now? If the answer's no, seasoned Christian, I want you to learn a little differently tonight. I want you, seasoned Christians in here, who are going through this to honor our system and be just sharpened and get to Grow Three, all right? If that's you, I need you to learn tonight in such a way you could teach it tomorrow, which means I want you to pay attention to the why behind the points. I want you to take the scriptures and I want you to memorize them so you can point people to God's word and God's truth, okay? Now, if you're here and you have felt a lid on your walk with Christ and you need a jump start, I want you to, and you already know about a lot of this, I just need you to open your heart and let God show you fresh like it was for the first time. But then there are some of you in here, and you know who you are, and I'm so stinking happy about you, all of you. But these kind I really get excited about, too, because you're the babies in Christ. Like, this is all brand new to you. You know, you went to church, but you've never even been discipled or mentored, let alone go through a discipleship track like Grow Track at Timber Creek. And so a lot of the content each week could feel a little bit like a fire hydrant hose, okay? So here's what I need from you. I need you to ask good questions to your table host each week. I need you to circle the numbers and the scripture references, listen, next to the things that don't make sense to you. So that you can ask the table host or Taylor or myself or whoever's teaching the answer to that question before you leave. How many of you know there's no such thing as a dumb question unless it's not asked? That's a dumb question. Is the one you never asked, because you're missing out on gaining truth of God's word. And what happens when we know truth? It does what? I said it earlier. It helps you walk in freedom, okay? So tonight, we're going to talk on the basics of salvation. And it's not necessarily this is how you get saved. You guys already know that. You guys should know that from starting point, okay? Grow Track One is to build on top of that. I want you to know why Jesus had to die on the cross. And then I want you to understand its significance in your everyday life now. Because what a lot of Christians do is come to know Jesus as Savior, and they get stuck right down here just at the foot of his cross, being thankful that they just escaped hell. You know, thank you, Jesus, that I'm not going to hell. And boy, that's great. I'm glad you're not going to hell either. But Jesus didn't just die on the cross for you just to be saved from hell. He died on the cross so you could walk in freedom in the here and now. And so what I hope to do tonight is to break down salvation for you. Not necessarily how do you know you're saved, but understand why Jesus had to go to the cross and what it means for you today. All right? Are we ready? You guys good? If you're good, say I'm good. All right, so let's jump into the notebook here right away. And I'm going to read a very common scripture, a very famous scripture. In fact, many of you could repeat it with me. But because I had a very traumatic experience as a new Christian when someone did that to me, I am not going to do it to you. I was a brand new Christian, true story. I had never studied the Bible. And I remember the youth pastor said, let's all repeat this scripture together, John 3:16. And everyone said, and everyone starts saying the scripture, except for me. And you know what I did? I said, watermelon, 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 watermelon. Oh, because I didn't want anyone to know I didn't know it because I felt like an idiot. So I'm not going to do that to you. But John 3:16 is foundational to the rest of the teaching. And most of you know it, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. And if you want to read it with me, that's fine. If you don't, you can say watermelon like I did. All right? John 3:16 to 17 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave who? His one and only son. That some who believe? Okay. Everyone who believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have eternal life. Now listen. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Wow, what a great scripture. Now, here's what I love about some things you're going to learn in grow one and grow two and grow three. We're going to teach you how to study and interpret scripture. So I'm going to give you a little lesson real quick. I want to break down the word believe. In fact, circle it in your notebook tonight. Circle it in your notebook. The word believe. Because at first glance, this scripture says, whoever just believes that he exists does what? Shall not what? But have everlasting life. But let's take a moment and look at this word, believe. The root word, the actual Greek word for the word believe means this. This is going to flip your lid. This is crazy. It doesn't just mean believe that he exists. It means to adhere to, trust in, and rely on. To adhere to. What happens when something is, when two different objects adhere? What are they really doing? They're bonding, aren't they? If they're adhere, when you stick super glue between two objects, what happens to the two objects? They adhere to one another, don't they? We pay money for it because we don't want them to come apart. They're adhering. To adhere in, trust in. To trust in someone, I'm putting my trust in them. I pretty much only put my trust in people who I think are worthy of my trust. They're trustworthy. The third one is rely on. The word rely on. Have you ever just had that person that you knew you could rely on? They're what? They're dependable. But I rely on that person. I rely on Pastor Alvin. I rely on him. So now taking that into consideration, let's now see those who shall not perish. Those who believe in him as Savior, who do what? Adhere to him. Do you adhere to him tonight? Are you stuck like glue? Uh-oh. Is that a song? I can't sing. You know it. Stuck like glue to the Lord. Come on, think about your walk with him right now and where you want it to be. Do you trust in him? Like when things get tough in your business and in your marriage, where do you run to? Who do you run to? I promise if you will examine it a little closer, you probably go immediately to who you trust the most. Do you go to him first? And who do you rely on? Do you rely on the Lord? Come on now, listen to what that means. That means I so trust him that I can take him to the bank, that I can take his promises to the bank, that I know his promises enough that I can take him to the bank. I rely on him. This is the foundation of my faith. I can't live without him. Now let's look at this scripture. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that who what? That he gave his only one and son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See,
and Grow Track, we want your faith to go beyond the cross. And please don't hear that in a negative way. There's nothing more powerful than the freedom we experience because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we're going to look at that tonight. But Jesus says in 2 Peter 1:5 that he wants us to add to our faith after that. Remember that in Starting Point? He wants to add to your faith like a list of other things like goodness, perseverance, self-control, all of these. Hey, listen. Maybe the reason Christianity is starting to feel a little boring for you is because you haven't added to your faith yet. And Grow Track is going to help you add to your faith no matter where you are in your walk with Christ. You with me? All right. So we're going to add to our faith in here. We want true belief in him. But this whole scripture is very important because it really sums up the salvation moment of a Christian. And I want us to take a look at that tonight because it's important that we come to know God through knowing and understanding not just his life, but his death and his resurrection. Did you know that no other religion proclaims to worship a resurrected Lord but Christianity? Did you know that? From Jim Smith all the way down to the history of Buddhism. The people who that originated with and that are still worshipped are dead. And they are not professed to still be living. But Jesus Christ does. Christianity is the only one whose God had the audacity to not just come live as we live, but to die a sinner's death and then through the power of God's Spirit in him be raised from the dead, and now his power lives in us. Come on, that's pretty crazy. That's pretty amazing. We're the only religion whose God is personal. We're the only religion that the God we serve wants to live and dwell in us. Do you understand what you've tapped into? Christianity is not just a way, it is the way, because our God is still alive. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And this is super important because a lot of us in here tonight, if I were to go around the room from Amber to MJ to all of you guys in here, and I asked you to give me a few descriptive words of God, I think we would be surprised at the results. Some of you did a little bit of that in Starting Point, didn't you? Where you had to describe God and what you used to know about him and what's not true, what is. Okay, but that's not just what I'm talking about tonight. How do you still see God? Who do you see him as tonight? You know, something that would wreck me in Starting Point when I teach that week one is every single week one when we do that exercise on the whiteboard, every single class, the common statement about God that people believe is that he's angry. That he's a pretty fierce dude. That he's walking around with basically like a javelin or like lightning bolts ready to throw them down at us when we mess up. Or he's like an angry father who will hold back his love when we don't do what's right. And tonight we get to dive into this a little bit deeper and look at this absolute horrible perversion of this image of God that I'd be crazy if I thought no one in here still had. So tonight what I get to do and I'm so pumped over is that we get to talk about the ultimate revelation of who God really is. There's so many different reasons that God sent his only son, but one of those was to reveal himself through Jesus to us. Because it's not just 21st century that has a messed up view of God. It was BC too had it wrong. They had a wrong view of God that they could not seem to get right. And so God sends Jesus, and he's the ultimate true revelation of the Father in his ways. And so really what boggles my mind is how the enemy wants people to think God is angry when really it's the love of God that sent his son to die on the cross to save us from a place that was never designed for us anyway. It's so, do you see how the enemy twisted that thing around? God is mad at me. No, God hates sin. Well, why does God hate sin? Because it destroys you. Because it separates you from him. And so God sends Jesus, and there's a common statement Jesus makes all the time in the scripture. And he says, I have come so that my Father may be revealed. I've come to reveal the Father. I've come so that you may know the Father. He says that all the time. Study it in a good study. How about you underline every time Jesus says something like that? Because Jesus was on a mission to correct a wrong view of God and the hearts and the minds of his people. It's true. And I'm kind of on that mission tonight. I'm on the mission because, listen, remember, we're laying a foundation. Everyone listen to me. This is so important. I need to know that tonight, every single person that I'm looking at is going to walk out of here with a right view and understanding of who God really is, why Jesus came, and what it means for me today. And it starts with understanding that God's not mad, God's full of love, and that this entire book is this crazy love story of God's pursuit, his passionate pursuit of lost mankind. And if he were so angry, and if he were so mad at us, then why is there an entire book of generation after generation after generation of his pursuit of our heart back to him? See, his heart is full of love. His love for you sent his son. His love for you sent his son. And it's so important that we have that in our minds all the way in our hearts. Now, what we want to do is we want to break down this pure revelation of God through Jesus. Are you ready? So we're going to look through 9 different things about Jesus that show us some crazy good things about God. Are you with me? Are you guys good? I got to take a drink. In fact, sorry. Let me digress for a moment. If you get around me within probably a 5 to 6 foot radius, I probably smell like an Italian restaurant because I've had a very sore throat all day, and Bonnie Rome had this great idea to give me oil of oregano under my tongue before tonight. So literally, like, I apologize if I smell like pizza for like the next 3 days. But I think it's working. My throat feels a little better. I'm actually able to teach tonight, so I'm very thankful. Let's look at this revelation of God to us. Now, hey, listen. Listen, Linda. Here we go. Can you just pretend I'm not just teaching and preaching this to you tonight? Can you practice, like, listening and internalizing the truths and, like, letting that soak in? And with every point I get to, can I challenge you to do something? Can you make sure you really understand it and figure out how that applies to your life? Can you do that for me tonight as I teach? It's going to change the way you learn. It's going to change the way you learn. You know, 90% of your learning is up to who? Do you know who it is? Me or you? It's you. 10% of the effectiveness of tonight is up to me. 90% is up to you. So do your 90 well with each point. I'm going to try to do my 10 well. Are we ready? Here we go. Number one, you need to understand that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, he was present during creation. I did not know this when I first got saved. So I'm so sorry if those of you who have been saved for a long time, you always knew this. I did not. In fact, look at Genesis 1:26. It says, then God said, let us, say us. Who's God talking to? It's plural form, isn't it? It's not singular. Isn't that interesting? Well, hold on. Whoa. Genesis 1, for those of you who don't know it, it's where in the Bible, guys? It's the very beginning, isn't it? It's the beginning of the beginning. In fact, Genesis 1:6 is almost as close to the beginning as you can get. And God is speaking, and he says, let us make man in what? What's the next word? Our what? Image. He doesn't say, let me make man in my image. Interesting. So if there's plurality used in the words of God, it means there's more than one person creating in his image. And we know from further reading, as you read further, it is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. When I first started Starting Point, this is like 11 or 12 years ago, there was this sweet lady, I can't say her name,
But there's a sweet, sweet lady, and she was a new Christian, and she was one of those Christians that, when Jesus saved her, she saw, it was like the blind man experience. She was so excited for her blindness being gone. Do you know that moment? Do you guys remember that moment, when you see him for the first time? She was so excited. But she called me one day, and she said, "Pastor Talia, I have this question." She said, "So now Jesus, when Mary gave birth to Jesus, that's when he first existed, right? So he wasn't ever before. The first time Jesus is ever known about, ever lived, is when Jesus or when Mary gives birth to him, right?" I love questions like that. Because the answer is, very good. No, you're right. You're right. The answer is no. But it's important for us to teach stuff like this because some of you may not have known that. I didn't. Jesus was present at creation. In fact, look at the scripture right here. In fact, write it down. Colossians 1:15 says this. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, I love it. Listen. It says, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God." Isn't that cool? He's the visible image of the invisible God. It goes on to say, "He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation." Isn't that cool? So Jesus was present at creation. He did not come onto the scene for the very first time plopping out of Mary. Okay? That's not when Jesus was first known. Just want to make sure we all understand that. And now I've given you some good scriptures so that you can know truth there. So the second revelation of God to mankind through Jesus is this. God created us to love him and have this close relationship with him. Oh, I love this part. I love this part. You want to know why? Because it's this part about God I love the most. Oh, my word. I'm so glad that I'm not, worshiping some dead false god idol that doesn't have a relationship with me. Because Jesus Christ is alive, we get to have relationship with him. Does that make sense to you tonight? Look at the scripture in Genesis 3:8. It says, "They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day." What does that tell you about God? Give me some words. Give me some thoughts there. What is God doing right here? Oh, you guys are way too quiet. I gotta get some caffeine in here, get you guys roused up. Okay, what's God doing right here? He's walking in the cool of the day where they always hung out, isn't he? And he's looking for him, isn't he? What are they doing? We're going to get to that in point three. Okay. But yes, so God, the same God you worship, had this habit in the Garden of Eden, of walking around in the coolness of the day waiting for his favorite people to come up and hang out. Okay. The cross brings forgiveness and redemption, but the cross doesn't change God's character. Do you understand that? God's still that cool guy who wants a nice, cool walk with you in a garden, so to say. Are you hearing me tonight? If you don't get this, you're not going to last long in Christianity, because it's just going to be a list of do's and don'ts, and you're going to get really frustrated quickly. Because the secret to the effectiveness and the lifeblood of Christianity is found in the relationship with God. And so I want you to understand today that even though Jesus' cross, what he does on the cross that we're learning tonight, what he did does change our consequence of sin, because we get to be saved, right, and go to heaven. But it doesn't change God's character and who he is. He still loves to hang out with us. Isn't that great? Why do I feel like I'm the only one that thinks that's cool? That is just really neat to me, that he wants to hang out with us, that he wanted to walk in the cool in the day with them. Look at what it says next. It says that he was going to walk around in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Whoa! They hid themselves from what? His presence. Not just his physical body. They hid from his presence. They hide from his presence among the trees of the garden. Ephesians 1, 4-5, look at this scripture, guys, and feel free to underline in your notes words that stand out to you. It says, "Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then
way a long time ago to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love, his unchanging plan has always been, come on, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this, why? Because he wanted to. Because he wanted to do it. Because you're worth it. Because he couldn't stand the thought of being in eternity without you. So it was worth the pain. It was worth the suffering of Jesus, his only son. He had it planned long ago. What Adam and Eve did in the garden didn't shock God. God had a plan. God always has a plan. I really like that about the guy. He always has a plan. Any other A-type personalities like me love the fact that God always has a plan? Okay, just three of us, all right? But that's a great thing, isn't it, Miss Sarah? Okay. So if God is so good, why is there a hell? If God loves us so much and just wants one great relationship with us, like, why is there even a hell? Why did there need to be a cross? Why couldn't he, like, make an executive decision and just say, everyone gets to come into heaven with me? Why? Thank you. Come on, Dan. Because he gave you an incredible gift. You know what the gift is? It's called free will. Now, he can get everyone into heaven if we were all robots and he made us do whatever he wanted. Now, can you imagine what your kids would feel about you guys, Courtney, and if you made your kids love you? Now, sometimes we kind of have to make them say they love us. Carter, say you love me. No, Carter, you tell mommy how great she is. No, right? Tell me you love me. That's more Victoria. Carter tells me he loves me more than I can count. But the truth of the matter is, that's not relationship. That's not love. If you had to make the children or the family or your boyfriend or your mom or your dad love you, that's not love. That's called control. And that's not the God we serve. He's a loving God that's looking for a loving relationship with mankind. Okay? And he wanted it so bad that even though Satan messed up in heaven when was thrown out, and even though Adam and Eve made wrong choices and it caused a major, major ordeal we're going to look at here on the whiteboard, but even though generation after generation after generation after multiple of hundreds of generations goes by, mankind still rejects God, God still says, I have a plan. I still have a plan. It's been since what? The beginning of time. And I don't break my plan and my commitment and my covenant. And I'm going to stick to it. And yeah, you guys don't deserve it, but Jesus is still coming. Now, does that sound like an angry, horrible God to you? No. Let's move on. Isn't this good stuff? I just love truth. So sin, let's look at number three. This third revelation is important to understand because I'm alluding to it here and there. Let's go ahead and just state the point. Sin entered this world through Adam and Eve's rebellion, causing a break in the close relationship with God, causing a great divide between God and mankind. Now, this is a devastating moment for mankind. This is a devastating moment because what Adam and Eve loved about God, and apparently what God loved to do with them, was to hang out together. But now they've made a decision to eat from the tree he tells them not to. Of course, we know Satan tempted them, and that's a whole other sermon we'll get into later in Grow One. Not tonight. But this whole decision they made caused sin to enter in. And sin, everyone listen, your decision, your choice to go into sin is what causes the fellowship with God to be broken, not his love for you. Did you hear me? His love for you is still there. My daughter can make some stupid mistakes that one minute we're playing and laughing and I want to take her shopping, we're all hanging out together. But boy, she pops off and slaps her little brother and he goes and does something to her. And in a split moment, I love him, but I don't like him very much. It's driving me crazy. Okay, but I still love him. Oh, I love my kids. And the truth of the matter is when we sin, we're like those rebellious children that keep doing the wrong thing over and over again, where we finally have to look at them and say, I told you five times. This is five. No, this is not five. Five times. Just stop aggravating each other. Go to timeout. My love's still there, but consequences are a result of their choices. And I think that's that's important for some of you in here. God doesn't punish us. There are natural consequences to sin that we choose. God didn't make my dad have an affair. He chose that. And as a result, there were horrible consequences that we all had to live with. It was his choice, though. But God loved him through it and still saw him saved right before he died. Praise the Lord, he's in heaven. Okay? But that sin breaks fellowship, doesn't take away love. Look at this scripture right here in Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." How many of us have sinned? All? Oh, we better all get our hands up, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want to show you a quick picture of how this works. Can I show it to you? In fact, this is a fantastic diagram to use when someone asks you the hard questions. So, in fact, this is a great kind of apologetic, a great way to defend your faith or to show why Jesus Christ needed to die to someone who doesn't understand. Are you ready? It's called the bridge illustration. And it goes like this. So let me just preface myself by saying that art is not a strength of mine. So for the sake of this illustration, you are a stick man, okay? This is us, but we're sad because God is over here. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered in and caused what used to be one big piece of land with no ravine. Listen, this is so good. This is so good to understand. Sin came in because of mankind's choices. Always has, always will. And sin caused a big gap in the fellowship and connection and access of mankind with a personal God. And so what we find is a big problem. Because what was once close walking in the garden in the cool of the day, there's now this separation, listen, from what the Bible says was his presence. And why Adam and Eve are hiding and why they're grieving and why they have regret is because there must have been something wonderful about that presence. I mean, there must, can you imagine? Think of the most powerful Sunday morning at Timber Creek you've ever been a part of. Now, I want you to understand what it must have felt like next to the Father God himself in heaven in the Garden of Eden, walking hand in hand with him. We can't even begin to fathom the kind of presence they must have gotten used to that now is gone. So we have this problem that enters in to where now mankind has to try in his own attempts to get back to God, and every time, no matter how good he is, no matter how many of the commandments he follows, no matter how many things he does right, animals he sacrifices, nothing bridges the gap because sin caused too big of a ravine. So there's a dilemma. Say dilemma. And does anyone see the dilemma here? We have a problem, don't we? But remember, when we have a problem, God always has a plan, doesn't he? So for thousands of years, number four, for thousands of years after that event in the garden, God constantly revealed himself to his people reaching across this great divide. Come on, you want to know why all of these books in the Bible are in here? From the prophets to the priests to the judges and the kings. I just read it. I'm telling you the truth. Read it. I dare you. Every one of these books in this Bible, which the word Bible is actually Biblia, which is a collection of books. So really the Bible is a collection of books. Did you know that? All right? So all of the books in this Bible, they're always about this scenario. And when you get into 1st and 2nd Kings, you've got different kings trying to help God's people get back on track. When you get to Judges, you have different judges of the land who have to be risen up by God because God's people went crazy again and trying to get people back on track with God. And you get to the prophets, and you get to Elijah and Elisha and Joel and Amos and all Nahum and Habakkuk and all these crazy names you cannot pronounce. And the story is still the same. The problem is still the same, and so is the result. They love God at first. They walk away. They try to fix the ravine. Problem and they can't every single time. Then we get to the end of the Old Testament, and there's about 400 years, which are called the silent years, where really there's nothing going on. They're like the dark season, the dark ages. Like they're the silent years. And then all of a sudden, hark the herald angels sing. Right? And all of a sudden, a shepherd boy and a bunch of shepherds out in the field see angels in the sky declaring the glorious visitation of the Lord that is to come. And all of a sudden, we see these three kings from Orient are coming to bring gifts. They traveled so far. I almost said, and all the king's horses and all the king's men. Wrong story. But no attempt, number 5. No attempt. Say no attempt. Oh, this is going to get good. You're going to love this at the end. No attempt of mankind was able to build a bridge long enough to bridge this great divide. No sacrifice was truly sufficient. Oh my goodness gracious, this is so good. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of death is sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No sacrifice was sufficient because man would sin again and cause the immediate need for another sacrifice for the sin to be forgiven. Number 6, watch how this works. There was only one pure, spotless lamb. There was only one Savior. There is only one Savior. There is only one baby born of a virgin. There is only one Jesus, who, because he's the Son of God, he is God incarnate, God in the flesh, he comes and lives that sinless life. So therefore, his sacrifice on the cross is finally the bridge that crosses the great divide. Look at that in your notes, number 6. Look at this. So what Jesus Christ did on the cross, look what it does. I love this. Oh my gosh, I just love this. I live my life on this. I just love it. Guess what we can do now? We have a bridge, don't we? We have a way, not just to be saved from hell, not just to be saved from this dark ravine, but to be back where we were always created to be, back with the Father, back in relationship with him, back in his presence. And if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I could really care less, as long as you hear this right here, is that you were created to be in the presence of God. You were created for fellowship with God. You were created to have the goosebumps that you feel. That's not just goosebumps. What you're feeling in worship is the presence of God. And mankind, in like a car needs gas and oil to run, Christians need the presence of God to be victorious, to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to walk in victory. And it is more than coming to church. It is more than reading your Bible. It is about getting into the presence of the living God, where you experience life, freedom, and true victory. That's what it's about. That is all it's about. Now here's what's so great. Here's what's so great. Oh, good grief. You know what's so great? Is because so many of us are trying to live the fruitful, victorious Christian life without making that entire walk across and accepting him and really getting access to him and tapping into all he has. And you wonder why, good gosh, you wonder why Christianity or church is feeling boring, or why that person seems to be so fruitful and like so effective and happy, and I'm not. Have you truly crossed over the ravine? Have you said, I'm done with this acrobatic stunt that fails me every time? I'm tired of living a life of alcoholism that constantly ruins my family. I'm tired of having an affair with my spouse not knowing. I'm so tired of cheating and being that person at work that everyone avoids. I'm so sick of walking into it fails me every time. But the one thing that never fails you is the Lord. And when you get in close proximity, say proximity. when you get in close proximity with the presence of God, you're never the same. You can never be the same when you get into the presence of God. You can walk away from him. You'll never be the same. That moment will haunt you to the day you die, won't it? The moment you tasted and saw he was good changes you forever. But what Grow 1 and Grow 2 and Grow 3 and Encounter and all of these groups are designed to do is to help you get beyond this point and in close proximity with the presence of the Father to where you know why Adam and Eve cringed and cried when they were cast out of the presence of God, because they knew there was no greater place to be. There's no safer place to be. There's no more peaceful place to be. There's no more provision that you'll ever need. There's no more joy that you'll ever require. There's no more strength. All you need is found in him. All you need is in him. And you can't get it from your husband or wife. And you can't even get it from those precious kids and grandkids. You can't get it from your job. You can't get it from your bank account or your successful or unsuccessful business. You were created to only work at optimum potential and strength when you are connected to the Father from who you were created in his image. Isn't that wonderful? Because guess what? When you're connected to him, living for him is easy. Did you know that? When you're really in fellowship with the presence of the Lord, living for Jesus is pretty much a joy. It's not hard. This is so good. You may not be getting anything out of this, but I feel fantastic. Can I say this real quick? This, what Jesus did, it's a finished work. It's a finished work. Say finished work. What does it mean if something's finished? It's finished. All done, right? All done. Don't touch it. You can't add to it. You can't make it better. You can't make it more effective. Not what you do. What'd you say, Sarah? You can't take it away. You can't get rid of it. Okay? You can walk away from him. He'll never walk away from you, ever. If anyone ever tries to add to what Jesus did on the cross, you don't receive that at all. If someone tries to tell you it's the cross and nothing, you mean to tell me the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of my Lord and Savior is not enough to get me into heaven when I trust and adhere to and rely on him as my Savior? Well, I'm sorry, I guess your good works earned what you had? No. Remember that, look at all the attempts of our stick man here. Failed every time. So even on your best day, you're not enough. Because he's enough. And that's all you need. That's all you need. Isn't that good news here tonight, Grow One? Isn't that good news? So number 7, his sacrifice is the only sacrifice that could and did bridge the great divide. Oh, look at this scripture. This is so cool. 1 Timothy 2:5-6 says this, that God is on one side. See, I didn't make this up. See, I'm theologically correct. Look at this. God is on one side, and all the people are on the other side, and Jesus Christ himself is in between them to bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. Isn't that incredible? What a fantastic scripture, older Christian, to use with your children, to teach to other believers in your workplace that don't understand why Jesus is the way. There you go. There you go. Number 8, when we decide to put our trust and faith in his life, death, and resurrection and make him Lord of our lives, we are saved. Romans 10:9-10 and 13 says this. This is a great one. Hey, listen. If you have ever struggled with wondering if your salvation left you, I had one student. She was actually like a doctor. She was a nurse practitioner here in town. And she was in Grow 1, and she looked at me and she said, I think I've lost the Holy Spirit, Pastor Talia. I think he's gone. I lost it. And I just looked at her and I said, sweetheart, you can't lose the Holy Spirit. He's always with you. He's always in you. And she didn't understand that. And when she came to understand that, I remember she broke and she began to cry because she understood that one bad day wasn't going to scare him off. So powerful. Because look at this. This is how you know you're saved. And this is a great scripture to memorize. Romans 10:9 and 10:13 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and now believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with your heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. One translation says, with the heart, one believes, with the mouth, he confesses that Jesus is Lord and is saved. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number 9, and here's my favorite as I finish up. As believers in Jesus Christ, we now have access. Say access. Not excess, access. Access to God in his presence and can stand before him without fear or shame. That is my favorite thing about Christianity. That is my favorite thing about the Lord, is that he's my very present help in time of need. I've learned that he's my comforter. I've learned he's my provider. And not because a pastor told me, but because I've experienced him. Because I now have access. I now have access. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, I can go to God myself. I don't need a priest. I don't need to go through someone else. I don't have to pray to a saint. I don't have to do it. I have direct access to God. Look at this in Hebrews 10:19 says, and so, dear brothers, now we may walk right into the very holy of holies where God is because of the blood of Jesus. This is the fresh, new, life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us by tearing the curtain, his human body, to let us into the holy presence of God. Let me say this. I have a few things to say on baptism, and we'll have homework for you tonight. And we're going to be having group activities in here. Not a lot, just enough for us to let what we're teaching you guys get down a little deeper in your soil. So there are going to be some nights where we're going to have you guys discuss some things at the table together, work on a couple of assignments together, and it's the purpose of it is just to help get that seed down in there real well and start watering it right away. But tonight, I just really felt like I needed to till up some soil in here a little bit more. So I've chosen not to do that in here tonight, so you have homework. But I want to say this because I had this image in my mind before I taught tonight. And I really feel like this was from the Lord. I think it was from the Lord. And all it was this image of like a big, humongous treasure chest. And inside of this treasure chest was like tons of like valuable jewelry and gold. And what I felt like the Lord was, and it was locked. And what I felt like the Lord said is, through this journey, through this process and Grow One, you guys are going to learn to unlock that thing and begin to enjoy the freedom and the benefits inside of that chest because you have access to it now. See, that chest represents, hang with me, do not tune out. This chest represents the fullness of God. This chest represents all he is and all you need. This chest represents forgiveness, removal of guilt and shame. This chest represents all of the provision you need, of everything you need, from emotional to mental to physical to financial to relate. Listen to me. Remember, everything's found in him. But you have access. But you have to take the key and unlock it. And guess what you have to do next? You have to then not just unlock it. What do you have to do next? You got to open it up, don't you? But then what do you have to do? You got to be like Chunk from the Goonies. And you got to be a little, you got to get in there and just dig in and get it all on you. And I just felt like, I've never said that in any Grow One. I feel like that is the thing for this group. See, you're special. The Lord says he has special things waiting for you. And he's given you the keys. You have access to it because of what he did, not you. But he wants to teach you how to come and now have the faith to walk up to him and begin to ask. He wants you to come up to him and begin to believe. He wants you to begin to tap into him as the source, not your friends on Facebook. He wants you to begin to tap into him and pull out of him everything you need. And we're going to teach you how to do that in here. We're going to teach, by the time we're done, I promise you, by the time we're done with this class, you're going to learn how to do that. And those of you who used to do that well, and now you're a bit dusty, you're going to become great at it again. Okay? Is that exciting or what? I'm excited about it for you. Now, let me just say this as we finish tonight. If you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, like you're in here, you thought you had, but now you see all this and you thought, whoa, I didn't know any of that. I just thought I was saying hi to a really nice God. But in all seriousness, if you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, we want to pray with you tonight. So before you leave, we want you to find the host in the black t-shirt. We are trained for this. We are ready for it. We would be thrilled to just come pray with you real quick and ask and pray that prayer with you to receive Jesus as your Savior. But the rest of you, if you have asked Jesus into your heart, guess what your next step is? You need to get baptized. In fact, if you study Jesus' teachings, you'll find out he doesn't command, like he doesn't say you need to do like exactly this like a whole lot of times. He teaches a lot of good truth that you need to learn and apply. But he literally says, go and be baptized. Go baptize others. You need to go and be baptized. And so when we're being baptized, we're number one, we're following the example of Jesus because it illustrates Jesus' death and resurrection. So when we go down into the water, did you know the word baptize is baptizo, which literally means to be immersed? So when we baptize you, we immerse you in the water. It's symbolic of the death and the new life of the believer that is metaphorically compared to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So hey, here's the deal. If you are serious about this thing with the Lord and you have never been baptized, we have baptisms on the second Sunday of October. The only reason we're not doing it in September is we're working on Nacogdoches right now to get the baptismal stuff set up so we can do a big baptism Sunday all together. We're super pumped about it. We've got to work out a few logistics. So the second Sunday, I think it's October 13th actually, October 13th, we are going to have water baptisms here at the Lufkin and Nacogdoches campus. Can't believe I'm saying that now, Chris. Lufkin and Nacogdoches and our prison campuses are going to be having baptisms as well. And so we want to make sure that you get signed up for that. You have a sheet at your table that will allow you to sign up. You can also go to the Timber Creek app, timbercreekchurch.com, Next Step booth, call the church. We will dunk you, okay? But why do it? Why do it? Because it illustrates and professes to the world that the old is dead in you, the old sinful person's dead, the new has come. It is a powerful testimony of what Jesus has done. It is an outward expression of an inward change. All right? So we have some homework to do tonight. We have some homework to do this week. Don't worry. It's not too hard. But I do want you to do it. Listen, remember, 90% of your learning is up to you. So those of you who will do the exercises, you're going to grow a bit more than those who say, I'm not just not doing it. Because listen, this is going to water your soil. And this is going to help pull out some weeds of your soil. This exercise. So if you look at your notebooks and on page 6, it says group work. I want you to do this as a devotional. It'll take you probably 15, 20 minutes max, 15 minutes. I want you to study Colossians 1, 15 through 23 in the New Living Translation, and I want you to answer those three questions. Oh, I'm sorry. I have a teacher manual. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Woo! Boy, I know how to get you guys to talk. Say the page number wrong. And you came to life. Wow. Okay. So in all seriousness, yes, page 4 is the group work, or now is your homework assignment. And I also, oh, well, you guys are chatty now. Oh, why didn't you do this like 40 minutes ago? What are you saying? What are we going to talk about? Oh, it illustrates your new life as a Christian. Is that the one you're talking about? Okay. Amber says, yes, ma'am. All A-type personalities are happy because all the blanks are filled in. Now we can sleep at night, right? Hey, listen. That exercise, that spiritual inventory, I challenge you to take that to your prayer time this week. Remember in Starting Point, we told you set a time, pick a place, show up consistently. Remember that? So set a time this week, pick a place and show up consistently. Use your inventory. Ask, listen. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Say, Jesus, show me what you want to do in my heart these next 13 weeks, 12 weeks, and grow one. God, show me. And now, God, show me what obstacle that I'm going to have to overcome to get there. And then I want you to prayerfully do the exercise and bring it back with you next week so we can work at it with our tables. Also, Taylor has a manual she's handing up. And you're telling me to do what, Tay? We have a Bible. Oh, look at you guys. See, we've made this so easy for you. This is so great. I love this class. We have a Bible reading plan for you. And it's located where, Taylor? In the very back. Last page of your notes. This is so good. You want to know what? Guess what? Hey, hold on. Oh, I'm out of time, dear Lord. Okay, listen. This Bible reading plan was not, we didn't pull this off a website. We made this ourselves to go along with the curriculum of just this class. It is, when I say it's like a custom-made suit for you. This Bible reading plan, if you will do it, it's not a lot, but if you'll do it each week, it's like miracle grow on the seeds God's going to plant. Did you hear me? Like miracle grow. So just commit to praying each day, even if it's 5 minutes. Get on that. Pastor Chris, what's that Spotify of ours? Timber Creek One. It's on our app. If you'll go to, it has our worship music on there. Oh, here we go. You talk to God for about 5 minutes. How about you listen to one worship song? How about you do your Bible reading plan? And guess what? I'm telling you, if you guys do that this week and you do your homework, next week, watch and see what this classroom feels like. Watch and see. Watch and see what happens. It's like a feeding frenzy that starts to happen in Grow One as we begin to read God's word and apply it to our lives and be changed. Now, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, we just pray that the seeds you've scattered in our hearts, Father, that they would take root, that you would water them, that they would bear fruit that would remain. Oh, dear Jesus, would you draw us into your presence this week? Lord, as we go home and we put the kids down and we lay our head down to sleep, or we just go home to an empty house and just breathe for a moment, would you just allow us to begin to walk closer with you tonight and tomorrow than we did earlier today and last week? God, may we get into closer proximity with your presence. May we cross the bridge over the ravine. May we walk boldly because of Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf. Can we walk boldly in front of you and tap into you and enjoy the access of the loving Father? We love you. We worship you, Father. God, I pray a blessing over everyone here tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Man, I enjoyed that with you tonight. I hope you guys have a fantastic week. Don't forget to do your homework and use your Bible reading plan. And everyone come back next week for week 2 of Grow One. God bless you. Have a great week.